It's Basic Gospel, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you and invite your phone calls right now. If it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can reach us right now at 844-322-2742. If there's something you'd like to talk about, a Bible question, or perhaps a troubling life issue, well, we invite that call right now from you and the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742, and the lines are open right now. Well, Bob and Andrew, the holiday season is over, and for me and my family, well, we had a very blessed ending to 2019, and I hope you and your families and our staff and their families and all of our listeners did as well. So, Happy New Year to everyone.
Well, 2020 is here, and, you know, Bob and Andrew, for so many, it's a clean slate, it's a fresh start, and as if there's something magical about the change of the calendar from one year to the next. We think just that calendar change has magical power to make everything better for us moving forward, but that's not the case, and people at the end of the year, you know, have lost hope. They've failed on the resolutions, and they're waiting for the next year to come along, hoping that that's going to have the magic to make all things new and great in their lives. But here's truth. We have been made new in Jesus Christ. There's a perpetual novelty about this grace of God that we live in as a result of Christ's finished work, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And, you know, every day we wake up with the wonders of living in the newness of life, of living out who we are as children of God, our new self, our new heart that we've been given in Christ, living in this new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in, living out this new command of loving one another as God in Christ has loved us, and, and walking in this new way of grace. Everything is new always for us as believers in Christ, and we certainly don't need a new year, a new calendar date to remind us of that, but it's a good opportunity to remind us of all that we have new in Christ, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, it's a time of celebration. We just celebrated the birth of Jesus. Now we're celebrating a new year, and certainly we need to throw in there the new covenant and the new priesthood that Jesus has given us, and all the promises that he's given us under the New Testament. And, you know, waking up every day and relating to somebody and having them relate to you perfectly, having them relate to you as if you've never messed up a day in your life, having that perfect life coach who says, I'm going to train you for a new future without bringing up your old past. I'm going to discipline you and invest in you and mold you and shape you without keeping any record of your wrongs. So we have a relationship with God through the new covenant and through this new priesthood of Jesus, and it's a perfect relationship. I mean, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, you'll find rest for your soul. So, you know, that's our prayer for our listeners this year, that through knowing the new covenant and coming to know the newness of life in Jesus, that this year, spiritually speaking, would be more restful than ever before. And just recognizing how easy and light that connection is with Christ, that it's not something we have to struggle for or strain for. Instead, it's gifted to us in the person of Christ. And Bob, that connection with Jesus, well, that's the greatest gift of all.
Yes, it is. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned, one of the things that I mentioned there at the beginning, is the fact that we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. And, you know, that's what so many people look for in a new year, is they want life to be different for them than what it was in the previous year. They want to be more successful. They want to make more money. They want to feel more confident and assured of themselves. They want to have a better self-image. They want a lot of things that's going to make life different for them. And we have that different life. We have that new life. We have something unique in Jesus Christ. Our old self died. That was buried with Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago. And now, through faith in him, we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. And this newness, it's a different quality of life altogether. It's something that's unique. It's something that the world doesn't offer. It's something that you cannot see out there in the world. It's sourced by Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's his very life that we get to participate in by grace through faith. So we, like I said, we don't need the magic of, you know, the new calendar date to think that maybe life can be different for us. We just need Jesus. We just need to recognize that in Jesus, everything is new, and it's perpetually new. It's the freshness of who he is in us, the freshness of this new covenant, the freshness of all that we've received in Christ.
Yeah.
Never wears off, never gets stale, never gets boring. It's always fresh and exciting and dynamic and vibrant. Why? Because it's the God of this universe living his life in and through us. That's the newness of life that all of us celebrate in Christ Jesus.
And it is good news at Basic Gospel, everybody. Andrew Farley joins Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis, and we so appreciate everyone who stepped up over these final weeks and days of December to support Basic Gospel by praying for this ministry and its staff, and for giving support to the message of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we won't have the final number until sometime next week, but we're thankful for every one of you who supported this ministry. You understand that it's a partnership in the gospel, and that you have a part in every life that is impacted by the message that they've heard on Basic Gospel. So, again, our heartfelt thanks to each of you for your love and your support. Well, plenty of open lines right now. If it's roughly 6 minutes after 3 Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. That's toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. Well, guys, we had this question from Jess, and I just turned my iPad off, but we got it here. He says, I firmly believe 1 John 1:9 to be a salvation passage not for a believer's confession of sin in order to receive forgiveness. Verse 9 ends with, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It seems contradictory to say that we've been given the gift of righteousness and then turn around and say we need to confess in order to be cleansed of unrighteousness. I believe verse 9 to be addressed to unbelievers because they lack these assurances that have been given to us who are in Christ. Thank you for any comments and clarification that you might add.
Well, that's spot on, guys. I mean, how many times have we heard it misunderstood and mistaught and misrepresented? And yet here in this letter, this email, such accurate teaching and summarizing of what's going on. In short, you know, 1 John 1:9 is a response to 1 John 1:8. And 1 John 1:8 is warning people, don't be a sin denier. And the same thing with 1 John 1:10. It's warning people, don't deny your sinfulness. Instead, what do you need to do? Well, 1 John 1:9 is saying admit your sinfulness, agree with God, and guess what he will do? He's going to do what he does for every believer, forgive and cleanse of all unrighteousness. Now, that is not a spiritual squeegee coming out of heaven every 28 minutes when you mess up. That is not you going to a priest in a confession booth and getting a little bit more cleansing on Thursday and then a little bit more cleansing on Sunday. No, this is a once-for-all cleansing, and that's exactly what Hebrews tells us. When you look at chapters 6 to 10, you start seeing this competition between two types of forgiveness, and the first type is progressive, little by little, again and again, year after year, repeatedly, endlessly. And then the other type of forgiveness is called once for all. And the writer John, in the first chapter of 1 John, that's exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about you and me getting once for all forgiveness and once for all cleansing in Jesus. So our sins are not going to be paid off in installments. It's not like paying off your mortgage or paying for your car. Jesus paid it all. We say that. We sing it. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Well, here's some great news. You could never pay him back, and he's not even asking you to. He paid once in full, and that's why on the cross he said, it is finished. So Nobody on the planet is 72% forgiven. Nobody on the planet is 61% forgiven. Nobody on the planet is 90% forgiven. You're either 0% forgiven and cleansed in Adam, or you're 100% forgiven in Jesus. So if you're a new creation today, and here we are in this new year talking about all things new, well, if you're a new creation, you have a new kind of forgiveness. It's a kind of forgiveness that the Old Testament people didn't experience. They had to get their sins dealt with every year at the Day of Atonement. You don't have that. You have something better, have something greater. You have a new kind of forgiveness in the new priesthood of Jesus Christ, and that is once for all cleansing for all time. Hebrews 10:14 says, by one sacrifice, he has made us perfect forever. So that's a perfect forgiveness and a perfect cleansing for all time, for every sin imaginable that you've ever done and that you will ever do. So 1 John 1:9, my friend, you nailed it. You got it. You understood the context. Stop denying your sin. As an unbeliever, this warning is issued. Stop denying your sin. Just admit it, because there is a once-for-all solution found in Jesus. And Bob, when we recognize that, then we stop asking and begging and pleading and hoping and waiting for something new to come our way. And instead, we start celebrating the total forgiveness we have in Jesus.
Yeah, boy, that's good news. And you mentioned the fact that we're new creations, and I love that passage in 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 17. You go all the way down to verse 21, and this really kind of ties everything together about 1 John 1:9. We've been cleansed of unrighteousness, and then we've been made righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. So he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the fact that we're in him means that we've been made righteous. And if we've been made righteous, then we've certainly have been once and for all totally cleansed of all unrighteousness and forgiven of every single sin. So this Bible, keeps telling that story over and over and over. You kind of get the sense that God wants us to know that our sins have been forgiven once and for all, and that we have total assurance in him. It's kind of amazing how much he wants us to know that.
Yes, it's plastered everywhere.
Everywhere.
Whether it's Hebrews or 1 John or any other place, the writings of Paul are talking about it again and again. Peter says, if you're lacking godly qualities, you've forgotten your purification. So apparently we need to remember our purification. And this false religious idea that I'm supposed to be groveling over there in the corner saying, dirty sinner that I am, Lord, please, would you forgive me? Well, that's actually dishonoring to the finished work of Christ. And true humility says, well, it can't be about me. It's not about my words and my memory and all my confessions and my ability to keep myself clean. No, it's about Jesus and his blood and the cross and what he did. And he did it perfectly. He did it one time. He did it for all time. And it worked. So therefore, I can rest in what he did and not try to add to it or improve upon it or make it better or get myself cleaner. All of that is a religious mirage. And when we recognize the fullness of what Christ did, look, it's not going to make us want to sin more. We were sinning just fine, as we thought we were dirty worms groveling for more forgiveness. We just would sin and ask and sin and ask again and sin and ask again. And it becomes a cycle. Whereas when I realize I've got once for all cleansing, guys, well, I start thinking like a clean person and acting like a clean person, and all those qualities that Peter listed off, well, those are real, and the fruit of the Spirit happens in an environment of grace.
Yes, indeed.
Well, that's good news from Basic Gospel, everybody. Just thanks for reaching out. Hope that's been a help to you. And right now, we have plenty of open lines for you. If you have a question or some life issue you'd like to discuss, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. And Andrew, you're really outnumbered by the Bobs today. This is a question from another Bob. He quotes the English Standard Version of Romans 8:1. He says, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, period. However, the King James reads, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, comma, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." This is a comparison of Romans 8:1 by the two versions. It was taught today that there is no condemnation as long as we are walking in the Spirit. That leaves a lot to interpretation. I am an ESV person, so at this point I'm wondering where the second half of that verse came from. Until today, I've never seen it or heard that part added. How do we determine if it is supposed to be there?
Well, it's already there in verse 4, and the most common belief there is that it was accidentally in some manuscripts copied over twice. There's no reason that word for word it would be repeated in two very different contexts, verse 1 and verse 4 of Romans 8. So let's think about the ramifications there, Bob. I mean, first of all, if Paul is saying there's no condemnation, then what does that mean? Well, it means that you're free from condemnation, that you don't have to worry about punishment, that Jesus took it all. There is no punishment left. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus died, so we can do the math and celebrate on that one. But if I come in with a big fat if at the end of that and say, "Now, Bob, there's no condemnation for you if you do your part. There's no condemnation for you if you walk perfectly. There's no condemnation for you if you keep up your behaving." Well, that would just blow to smithereens the whole idea of no condemnation. Very quickly, no condemnation, well, that would last about 5 minutes, and then you'd be under condemnation by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and serious condemnation by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and by midnight, you would be doomed. And so, you know, that's why we have to clarify this, guys, because, you know, there are earlier manuscripts that are more accurate and closer to the original, and you've got the King James, which I know people fall at the feet of the King James and say, some people say it's the perfect Bible, it's the best Bible, you should never read another Bible, but the reality is, you know, there is no perfect English translation, and while the King James can be very helpful and very good, this is one of those times when you want to go back to earlier manuscripts and say, oh, no wonder you don't find this same sort of reading in the New American Standard. No wonder the ESV reads differently. No wonder, because they're based on earlier manuscripts. So as far as this phrase goes, where it properly belongs, Bob, is in verse 4, and it's a description. It's saying that the righteous requirement of the law is fully met in us, and who are we? We are people who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We're the only ones on the planet with a new walk. The unbeliever doesn't have a new walk. We have a new walk. Do we walk perfectly? Of course not. Do we stumble? James says we all stumble in many ways. But we're not earning our freedom from condemnation. If there were an if clause to our condemnation, then all of us would be up a creek without a paddle. But thank God that that if has been fulfilled. Jesus walked perfectly. And by his perfect walk to that cross, by his perfect walk out of that tomb, we have been made the righteousness of God. So that's why there's no condemnation. It's not about us and what we're doing. It's about Jesus and what he did.
Absolutely. And for those who love the King James Version, if you just read it, there's no if in there. He doesn't make that a conditional clause. It's just who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Those are believers, plain and simple.
Yeah.
Amen.
But that's a great question. And it really, really does speak to kind of the different translations mm-hmm. that are out there.
Yeah.
The King James Version is based on manuscripts that were found that date around 1000 AD, so 1000 years after the time of Christ. So they've assembled there, and there's lots and lots and lots and lots of manuscripts that are dated. So there's more of those. But then they found others, and as archaeology continues to do its good work, they're going to find more manuscripts dated closer to the actual time of Christ and the actual time of the apostles. And it's those that these newer translations are being translated on, based on. So if it doesn't have a phrase in there, it just simply means it wasn't in those original manuscripts.
Yeah. Yes. Good answer. And Bob, hope that's a help to you. Thanks for reaching out. And friends, would you like to connect to God's love every day? Well, you can learn how when you request our Hear, Believe, Live daily e-devotional. It comes in your email inbox every morning, and you can begin each day knowing you are dearly loved by the Creator of heaven and earth, the giver of eternal life. Just click subscribe at the top left of any page on our website, that, of course, basicgospel.net. 844-322-2742. We have a little time. If you would like to squeeze in a call right now, we want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. In the meantime, a question, guys, from Norbert. He says, my question is there a way that I can give my entire life to Jesus Christ and not look back anymore? I feel betrayed and abandoned by people I thought were close. At this point, I'm asking myself, were they ever really my friends?
Well, Norbert, first of all, it sounds like you've been hurt very deeply by people around you, and you're looking to Jesus as refuge and counselor and helper, and I think you're coming to the right place in that regard. At the same time, you know, Jesus is never going to take us by the arm and say, let's get out of here and remove ourselves from everybody that hurts us, because then ultimately we would have to go out of this world. So we want to find the right balance, the healthy place in all of this, and that is, I think, first, the Spirit of God living in you is going to lead you through a process of forgiving those who've hurt you. And that's not something that you have to do as some sort of command, but it's what's written on your heart. You want to forgive others as the Father has forgiven you, and you're passing that on. I mean, Colossians 3:13, Ephesians 4:32, they say forgive others as the Lord forgave you. That's what's written on your heart. So I would encourage you, really, you know, just to take some time with the Lord and say, Lord, this is how they hurt me deeply. I feel abandoned. I feel betrayed. I feel misunderstood. I feel rejected. I feel left. I feel unappreciated and devalued by these people, but I'm a forgiving person, and I've got a new heart, a forgiving heart that you gave me, and you live in me. So right now, by faith, I'm going to forgive them and release them from any debt that they owe me. They owe me better treatment. They owe me respect. They owe me appreciation. They owe me so much in my mind, but I'm going to forgive them and release them. And then, you know, you can certainly have godly wisdom as you move forward and not put yourself in an abusive situation. God is not setting us up for abuse. We can be discerning and ask God for wisdom about who we hang out with. And the Bible even says that the Lord Jesus did not entrust himself to man. So there is a clarity that we get in recognizing the only real promise keeper, the only reliable person that we can always depend on is Jesus Christ who indwells us. So look there, look to the truth that sets you free, look to your new identity in him for the worth and value and acceptance that you seek, because that is the solid rock, the foundation on which we can always rely.
Great answer, Andrew. Thank you for that, and thank you for your availability today. It's always a pleasure to have you, and especially going into a brand new year called 2020. Thanks for being here, friend.
Thanks.
Friends, also, thank you for being with us for Basic Gospel today. Keep in mind that you can call anytime with your question, anytime, day, night, weekend, anytime at all, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada at all times. Also want to remind you that we are streaming live video to both Facebook and YouTube each day, and you can find a A link right at the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. Just a minute or so before the broadcast comes on the air at 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time, you can go there, click one of those links, and the broadcast will come right up. We would love for you to join the growing list of people who join us by the live stream every day. And once again, we extend our sincerest thanks to everyone who loves this message and the Lord of the message and who supports this ministry with your love, your prayers, and with your gifts. We couldn't do what we do without you doing what you do. So God bless you all, and we thank you for standing with us in this message of God's unconditional love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now, with thanks to Andrew for being here, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.